there, before we get started, if you have not followed me yet on TikTok, what are you doing? It's at Heather Parody, P-A-R-A-D-Y. And you may be saying, well, Heather, I don't even have a TikTok. Well, there's your first problem. Go ahead and download the app, follow your girl, and I'll see you over there.
That's like real life things that are affecting real people in very serious ways that are just so like comically ridiculous how they've been structured. It felt like that was like one thing that I could contribute to, like even though like you don't think like a comedian can be like a real like resource in a time like that. Like the one thing I could do was help deliver like useful information to people who have like low attention spans like me, who need just like the basics. They need to understand things. And
I've always felt immense fear.
I was born with cerebral palsy.
I have always felt small.
Told not to take risks.
I may be blind, but I teach people how to see.
And I'm proud to be an individual.
This podcast is for you, the unconventional leader.
Maybe you are the one that everyone discounted.
Maybe you struggle with fear and self-doubt.
We are here to empower the next generation of self-starters to step up,
use their voice, and make an impact in this world.
I have found joy in not just making things funny, but also talking about things that people care about. That comes from today's guest, Karen Menon. And if this is your first time listening, what's up? My name is Heather Parody. I am your host. Okay, y'all, get this. Karen's TikToks, his comedy skits on TikTok, have been cited by a U.S. federal judge. Yes, you heard that right. They've been featured on CNN, and hundreds of thousands of people are having meaningful conversations around politics, policy, and cultural change because of his TikToks. Karen says that he is making, quote, woke TikToks, and comedy is the vehicle that he is using to educate his audience about big issues and advocating for the change that he wants to see in this world. Side note, he's 20 years old. That's so stinking cool, right? Today we talk about what exactly is a woke TikTok, how we can educate people in an entertaining way, and also tips for making complex topics simple and even entertaining. Make sure you connect with Karen at KarenMenon.com. That is linked in the show notes. And if you have a young person in your life who is fiery and passionate about certain issues in this world, wants to make a difference, this would be the perfect episode to share with them. Take a screenshot of it and share Karen's message with them. And one quick thing, this was recorded literally on the road during Christmas break. So excuse the audio quality. I was sneaking away recording this conversation with Karen. All right, y'all, let's go ahead and get into this. Woke TikToks and advocacy through comedy with Karen Menon.
I was always trying to be funny in school, like cracking jokes, like I was always that kind of guy. Funny around my friend group and stuff, and I was always my family has like a huge appreciation for like stand-up comedy. My dad tried it out
really cool
earlier in his life, yeah, and then he's a really really funny guy too, so it was just like I grew up in like a funny household, and I grew up watching SNL, like Key and Peele, like just everything like on YouTube, everything that was popular was like funny stuff for me. And then for a while I was wondering if maybe I could try that out myself when I tried making videos in high school, but I wasn't like really putting that much time into it. And then in college there were like these options, like you could join a club for, they could literally be on a sketch comedy team, there was like a stand-up comedy club, like there were actual like ways to like really do it. And I decided to just give it like a my whole like just the shot, and it was really really enjoyable. So it went from like knowing that I could be funny among my friends to knowing that I could be funny on stage in a certain way, and then later like knowing that I could be funny on the internet. But it was definitely something that I always thought about trying, and then I finally could try it when I got to college.
And you kind of conceptualize like your comedy career as more of maybe the way that, excuse my ignorance with it, but maybe the more traditional way of, okay, I need to get maybe an agent or, you know, work the traditional path. Is that still an option right now for comedians, or is it more that comedians are pursuing more building an audience, kind of going the online path, or is it kind of a merger of both? How do you guys like view this world right now?
I think it's definitely, it's a lot of like just being, I think it's both for sure. I think it's like you got to be doing everything. Like maybe in the past it was like you go to the club and you do your tight five and someone discovers you and you get an agent and stuff, but now there's like too many people, like there's like an oversaturation because of like the internet, which is a good thing and a bad thing, because there's like you can easily be discovered now, but there's also like a ton of people doing it. And so everybody, even like comedians who are already established, have like, now they have like pretty big social media channels, they have podcasts, and some of them are on TikTok. Right. And I think it can't hurt to do like, to be on everything. And for especially someone like my age, like I'm 20, like I grew up with like social media of like most of my life. So I feel like just like the logical place to go, especially like if I'm not getting agent offers right now, the one thing I can do is start putting stuff out for free on the internet. And that's like one way to build an audience. So that's the path that I took for sure.
We actually have a lot of comedians who listen to this show, and I don't know really why, because it's not that funny, but I'm grateful for y'all. Thank you. But sometimes it's super disheartening, not only like pre-pandemic, you know what I mean? Like trying to get your voice out there and get your material heard and not lose heart with it. And then you add in a freaking pandemic to it and all the crap that's happened this year. Like, has there been times like where you've questioned if this is the path for you? And if so, or if not, like, I guess the resolve that you have to stay the course, it seems as though a difficult path to pave.
It's definitely very, very difficult. It takes a lot of time. And that's why I don't think anybody recommends just diving into it, like making it your full-time job immediately. Like I'm in college, like I came into college as a neuroscience major. Like,
no way, really? Like,
I finally switched to something that was like more English related. But the whole goal with this was to just do it until it could maybe become more than just a hobby. It should be done alongside something else for a while.
Yeah.
Like, unless you're like super talented and you're just getting jobs off like right away. Right. I think it's something you have to like stay committed to, but you should have something else going on. For me with the pandemic, it wasn't like this was going to end everything for me. Like I had the option of like not doing comedy for a while. Also I'm like living with my parents. Like I don't have not too many risks right now, but I know a lot of people who are like full-time comedians who definitely had to like find a way through it, because they were making a lot of their money off like tours and live shows, and they had to start putting stuff out on the internet and maybe like self-releasing specials to stay relevant. And it's just a very different time, and I'm pretty happy that I wasn't like fully in the comedy sphere when it happened, or fully out of college when it happened. Like I have some kind of safety net, but I think it's something you definitely have to spend time on alongside.
I think you're fully in it now. I mean, we've got these woke TikToks. Can you tell me a little bit about what is a woke TikTok? What do you mean by that?
Yeah, it's just like a term that came about when I put like this first video, but it's basically like the way I would describe it is like breaking down like social issues, like relevant current events issues in 60 seconds or less, obviously with the TikTok format. In a way that's funny, like, and entertaining, and also delivers information at the same time. So like informative, but also entertaining enough that you're not just like turned off by information being thrown at you.
What settled you into that? Why did you make that choice?
Yeah, it wasn't really like the stuff I've made before that was never too political, never too like relevant to the times. It was a lot of ridiculous stuff. It was a lot of, I became more of a political person, I feel like, with everything that happened this summer. I started like doing a lot more research and like learning about, just like reading a lot more about social justice and the laws that were affecting these issues. Like the first one was qualified immunity, which had to do with like police accountability and why it's very, very hard to sue police officers. Just something about that was so ridiculous. It's like a catch-22 type situation, and where you can't like sue a police officer unless another police officer has been sued in a previous case for doing that exact same thing. But if nobody was sued before, then you can't sue this person now, and then it just like repeats itself forever. And so like stuff like that, like that's like real life things that are affecting real people in very serious ways that are just so like comically ridiculous how they've been structured. It felt like that was like one thing that I could contribute to, like even though like you don't think like a comedian can be like a real like resource in a time like that, like the one thing I could do was help deliver like useful information to people who have like low attention spans like me, who need just like the basics. They need to understand things, and it's hard to understand things when you're going to different news sources and you know that everything's coming with like a tinge of bias. And so this summer I kind of made that decision to start doing things that were more politically relevant or more relevant to the time, especially because it was a very political year and there was an election, to just like try to do my part to like inform people in a way that they could enjoy it at the same time.
Can you start something like that? Like, how do you even, like, that seems like kind of like this big monster that's like untamed and wild, like all the social justice issues that are going on and all the information and all the hurt and the pain and the controversy and all of the things, and thinking about getting your arms around that. And first of all, you know, condensing it to 60 seconds is something meaningful, and then adding a twist to it to make it to make it funny and light. Like, that's a big monster to try to tackle when you decided you were going to try to do this. Like, where did you start? And right now, how do you, I guess, your streamlined process of getting information, figuring out how to present it, coming up with your skits? Like, is there a formula? Like, how do you do this?
Yeah, I mean, I wish there was like a 100% like tried and true formula. But the one thing I can do, like, that I know I have to do, is just do a ton of research before I make anything. Because if I get anything wrong, that's like the worst thing that could happen. If I'm factually, like, something's off, then people can call me out on that. And then it's like, what am I doing? Right. So I have to really do a ton of research, read a lot, watch a lot of, you know, different content, try to decide what's, you know, what the right, as I'm doing a lot of the reading, then the ideas will come out of the reading. So, like, you usually, I'll look at the topic and see, like, where the problem, what people have a problem with in that topic. Like, for example, with qualified immunity, it was the most ridiculous part of it was that contradiction of how, like, you can't sue someone unless someone in the past has been sued for doing this exact thing. But then if nobody has been sued before, you can't sue this person now, and then nobody in the future will be sued. And so you find that, like, contradiction, that, like, that one thing that's, like, very, very easy to understand, mm-hmm. that's, like, clashing with itself. And from there, I look for, like, some kind of metaphor that can represent that same thing, but in, like, a very easy to follow way. So for me, that was, I'm going to play, like, one character who just slaps the other character. So it's basically me just slapping myself across the face, like, a few times. And each time the guy's like, why can't you get in trouble for this? And he's like, nobody's got in trouble for it before, so I can't get in trouble now. I just keep slapping the guy. And so that was like a very, it was like, obviously I wasn't like shooting anybody or anything. It was something you could look at. You're like, wow, that's bad. That's wrong. But it's a very simple act. And so boiling down like complex things to like their like the main thing that makes it wrong, and then applying that to some like very easy to relate to context. Like this was like a classroom, or like I've done things like Pizza Hut, if Pizza Hut was run by police officers, or like just things where you know what that world looks like, and we're just taking that world and bringing in the contradictions of like real world, more serious issues. And then I think with that, if you come up with like a funny enough lines and stuff, that's kind of like the formula there.
Why do you think people are so drawn to this way of consuming information?
I think it's, I mean, for me, if I was someone on like the internet and I wanted to learn about something, like I see a lot of people, you know, you see a bunch of news talking about an issue, like before you go and research something, it probably takes like a few times for that thing to show up on your feed before you're like, oh, maybe I should learn a little bit more about this because it seems mm-hmm. like this is like a relevant thing. And so I think a lot of people who come across my videos have been through that already, where they see a bunch of things coming up about like, maybe they've seen the term qualified immunity, or they've seen All Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter, like different phrases being thrown around, and they know like something's going on there, but they don't fully understand it. And if they did understand a little more, they would maybe have more of an opinion, and they would have more interest to go and look it up. But they need someone to just break down the basics for them. And I think that's like the appeal of this. It's like someone's breaking down the basics for you, but not in a way that that they're telling things, or they're telling you what to think. It's more of like, I'm showing you what's going on in as unbiased of a way as possible. Or if it is going to be biased, sometimes it is going to be biased, but it's going to be just showing you what this perspective is in a funny way. So like it's hard to take in information and stay engaged. I think especially people my age, like it's very hard to, unless you're like really invested in it initially when someone's bringing a new issue to you, you want them to tell it to you in a way that keeps you engaged. And if they don't put that like extra effort in to like make you laugh or like say it in a way that's interesting, then sometimes you lose focus. So I think what's appealing about these videos is that like it gives you the basics of an issue, and in a way that like caters to, you know, when you're laughing, whether like you're on the All Lives Matter side or the Black Lives Matter side, you can laugh at a joke. Like everyone can laugh at something that's funny. Yeah. So and then you're more willing to take in someone's point of view when they've made you laugh and they've like reached across in that way. Right. And I think that's part of the appeal of comedy mixed with like serious issues.
That makes sense. Has this, I don't know, I guess, reshaped maybe what you think about your future and your career and your comedy and all that? Because I know it was kind of, correct me if I'm wrong, maybe an experiment, just, you know, something to try and play with on TikTok, and it's popped and you've had a lot of attention and federal judge sided you. Like, we got to talk about that in a minute. That's pretty crazy. Like, it's been interesting, like, what's, you know, manifested from this. How do you look at it now? Like, how is this going to inform, I guess, maybe your future decisions?
Yeah, I did not envision any of this happening, like the, you know, the attention it's gotten from, like politicians have retweeted some of these, and like people who I look up to in the comedy world have like retweeted, like I'm sure they don't know who I am, but they just, you know, like retweeted it. That meant a lot to me. And it was very clear that like people like to share this kind of stuff around because it means something more than just like a funny joke. And I never envisioned myself being the kind of person who would do something more than just make you laugh. Like I thought, you know, that was pretty much all I was going to do. And there's like this other side to it now where it's like, it actually matters to people. Like the information part of it matters. And that's definitely informed the kind of things I'll continue to make. Cause I mean, I found some joy in making something that's not just funny, but things that like people really like care about. And usually I feel like you have to get to like there's like certain comedians who people will go to for like social commentary, but they're like really at a high level. And I feel like people, there's not a lot of people like in like the TikTok sphere who are doing it. And so I think I'll definitely want in the future to do more comedy that comments on things that are happening in the real world. I think that's kind of the point of comedy too, is like what I've been realizing is that comedy, you can make people laugh, but you can also send a message to people. When they're laughing, they're more accepting of the message. And so I'll definitely be looking at ways to continue to do that. And it also, I mean, if it comes to like a writing on a TV show that's not political, or if that ever happens, I'm fine with that too. Like I got into comedy because I like comedy, but the socially relevant side of comedy I've really come to love. So
I love that.
Yeah.
Scott Dickers, he co-founded The Onion, and I'm on his email list. And around 9/11, he sent an email that I thought was super powerful. And paraphrasing it, he was talking about when, you know, 9/11 happened, a few weeks later, they had put out an issue of The Onion, and they got a lot of hell for people because they're like, it's not time to laugh. It's not time to make jokes. You know, we're in a national tragedy and all this stuff. But he also had other emails of people who were super broken, and they said, thank you so much for bringing us joy in such a difficult time. And so he was encouraging his email list, saying, you know, with everything that's going on this year, it is time for us to laugh and to come together with, you know, the human connector of comedy. And yeah. I just wondered your thoughts about, you know, because some people could, you know, look at this and say, well, you can't make light of some of these issues, and this isn't stuff to laugh about and everything. What's your perspective around what you said about, you know, comedy being a vehicle and one that's actually honorable to use?
Yeah. It depends. Like obviously when something like really tragic happens, there'll be like a period of time where like, it's probably, you know, for the best to maybe take some time to process it. So you're not just saying something that's like, you know, off putting. But once you've taken a little bit of time to process it, like the whole point of comedy is to like, I think, or at least one of the points of comedy is to say things that aren't being said and point out things that, you know, that haven't been talked about. And if it's just joking for the purpose of getting people to laugh, that can be really powerful for the people who are, you know, looking for laughter. And obviously some people will not be at that point as soon as others, but sometimes something is so hard to talk about that you can only joke about it. You know, like you can only you can't even have a serious conversation about it, but you'll look to people who can put it in a kind of context that, you know, makes you feel a little less tense about it. And a lot of comedy is just like relieving the tension that you feel around certain issues. And so in that, it is kind of a really powerful thing that comedy can do, especially at a time. Obviously, 9/11 was insanely tragic, and coronavirus is taking a lot of lives. But being able to talk about it, you know, a lot of people can't talk about it seriously without, you know, it's very hard. But you can make jokes about certain things, and in that way, you can maybe relieve some of the tension and get past the tragedy.
Federal judge cited you. What happened there?
Yeah, that was kind of insane. I made this that first TikTok about qualified immunity, which it's an issue. Like a lot of it's getting some bipartisan support in the court to like abolish it because it just really makes no sense.
And right.
This federal judge in Mississippi had to rule on some case where there was involved like a black man who's like rights were violated, or someone's rights were violated by a cop, and he had to rule on it. And he basically had to uphold qualified immunity and rule in favor of the cop. But he didn't want to, and he like in this thing that he wrote afterwards, his decision, he basically like made a case for why this law needs to go. Like it needs to go, even though he has to uphold it, it shouldn't be there. And he wrote about how people all around the country are supporting abolishing qualified immunity, and how even people on TikTok are talking about it. And then he tagged me like in the footnotes, which was like
so
insane.
Crazy.
Yeah, yeah. And I was blown away. I mean, at that point, like that video in particular had gotten like a huge amount of exposure.
Right.
Like some Congress people had put it out, and so I knew that it was getting that attention. I just didn't know. It felt like really good that not only was it getting attention, but it could be used as like evidence of the public wanting qualified immunity to go, which meant that like it was kind of like being used as a like representative of how people are feeling, which is what I was trying to do with the video. So That felt like amazing.
That's insane. Is there, do you feel any kind of like pressure, like when this kind of stuff happens, like, oh shit, like I've really got to like keep the content, like, you know what I mean? Like, is there any pressure there with that?
Yeah. Yeah. There's a ton of pressure for sure. Sometimes like I want to make something that's more like ridiculous, like how I used to make, and I'll do that event like every once in a while. But I realize like now, like there is kind of like a push for like, there's not a lot of people making videos that, like that are entertaining, but also like hard hitting. Like there are a lot of people who do like the Daily Show will talk about the news, but I feel like sketches are what people are kind of used to with, like on like these people my age, and there's like an expectation that it will be like a certain level of funny and a certain level of like informative and like commentary, and some videos, like some topics are really hard to talk about, and those are the ones that people want like the best videos for. And so there's like a pressure to like deliver something that's like meaningful, that people will share around, that people will be like, this is like this, you know, like I've had to like kind of reframe that and be like, all right, you know there's a lot of people in the world who are talking about this too. You're not like the only one who has like the, you don't have, there's like, I have to reduce the pressure on myself to make something that's like amazing every time, but I do want everything I make to be at that level of like,
right,
meaningful and funny. And so yeah, I mean, when stuff like that happens, it's crazy, but you just gotta keep that, just keep your head down and keep working at it.
Yeah, makes sense. I wanted to ask you, you said in an interview that I read, and I'm going to read a quote of yours, that says, nobody wants to be told anything, no matter what side you're on. You don't want to be given facts. You want to be entertained a little, maybe have the information slipped in. You're just more open to accepting information when there's humor involved and when you're laughing. And I love that quote. I completely agree. Not everybody listening right now has the gift, the skill, the talent, the, you know, the craft of being a comedian. But we can learn from you in the sense of being conscious of formatting our content in a way that is accepting and generous towards the audience we're giving it towards. And I just would love any practical tips you have for content creators to maybe pull from what you're doing a little bit, to maybe not necessarily make everybody laugh per se, but also to, you know, be more conscious in their content where it doesn't come across as, do this. This is the information. These are the facts. Change everything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like the main thing you can do is just like keep in mind that the people you're talking about, like whether like the people on the other side of an issue, like they're still like people, like they're still normal ass people. Like they're taking in information just like you. And they'll, if you say something that like, that makes, you know, that a lot of people put stuff out that's like kind of very polarizing, and obviously people feel very strongly, but it'd be like, if you voted for Trump, we can't be friends and stuff like that. And I have a lot of friends who did vote for Trump, and like, who I grew up with in high school, and I didn't vote for Trump, but like we're still friends. Like there's, that's like just one part of life. Like there's a lot of other parts of life that don't have to do with politics that you can kind of get around politics. So I feel like just keeping in mind the people you're talking about are just taking in information just like you. They're really normal. They're people who just enjoy jokes. They enjoy the same kind of books that you read, and in that, like with that in mind, when you make something, I think you can make something that's more conscious of, like you got to be a little careful with how you say things. I feel like wording matters, and saying things that's like, just obviously if you feel very strongly about something, like make that known. But if you want to deliver like your opinion on an issue, do it in a way that's like, this is my opinion, you know, you can think differently, and this is not going to change, this doesn't have to change that, but this is just my perspective. As long as you're coming from it with like, from that perspective, I think that can help. And just remember that everybody wants to be entertained a little, and everybody has the same like kind of nature and like mannerisms and that kind of stuff. So
those listening who do want to be more funny, though, do you have what's your best comedy tip to make your videos more funny?
More funny? I've gotten better at facial expressions, and just like the more ridiculous, the better. I feel like, especially with like a 60-second video, if you're going to be on TikTok and stuff like that for the internet, people have like low attention spans. Like, make things ridiculous as quickly as possible. Like, and then like one of the more recent videos I did, like it was like a guy who he's like, oh, the vaccine's out, like we don't have to be safe anymore. And then I was like, oh, we should be a little safe. And this guy's like, no, he like takes his seatbelt off, and like, we don't have to be safe anymore. And then he like opens the door of the car while they're driving. Like, it's like, well, you know, the vaccine does not, you know, have you there. And then he just like jumps out the car. Like, I think like going ridiculous is always like the way to go. And also that helps make things a little more lighthearted, especially when you're talking about something serious.
Yeah.
You put it in such a ridiculous context that it's like, you're not talking directly about the issue. You're talking about like a metaphor or something that's just like in a different direction, but you can tell what the connection is. Then people can draw from it what they want to draw from it, but you're never talking about something directly in a way that might hurt people, or you know, make people feel like they're being told what to feel, like I said before. So yeah. So
commit to your character, commit to your decisions, go in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's cool. Our segment we have towards the end of the show is called Unsung Heroes. Okay.
Okay.
So a lot of times when we think about making an impact in this world, making a difference, our minds automatically go to some CEO, some billionaire, some famous person, whatever. And often the person who made the most difference in your life was, you know, maybe no one knew their name. And maybe it was a janitor at your school or a teacher or, you know, someone who wasn't necessarily famous or seen in the world's eyes as a hero, but they're your unsung hero. And I was wondering if there was a person or situation, story in your life where someone who wasn't famous, wasn't well known, stepped in and said something to you, did something for you that really made an impact on your life.
That's a good question. Yeah, I feel like growing up, there was my dad was always like someone who influenced the way I looked at comedy. But I feel like a specific event. There was one event. I feel like when I was graduating high school, I was joking around and like in high school in classes, and like teachers kind of knew that we had made like some film, our senior like film fest, like we won that year, and it was like this really, really funny film. And this, my history teacher, Mrs. Morrison, like it was a very, very like small comment, but she was like, when I was saying like goodbye after graduation, she was like, "You're going to have your own show one day. Like I'm very sure of it." And she was like smiling about it. And I didn't know if she was serious or not, but that kind of like motivated me a little more than it should have. But I was just like, the fact that someone could even think that about me, I was like, wow, maybe I should think that about myself and like set that kind of goal for myself. With everything I do, I keep in mind that there are like people who have more faith in you that sometimes you have in yourself. And that was a really nice thing for someone to say to me early on, before I'd even started like doing stand-up or sketch comedy. I think about that a lot, yeah.
Those are my favorite answers to those questions, because those small little things, man, it's like game changers.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing that. Okay, I have one final question for you, but we have to give people an opportunity to, what I say is, stalk you online and find all your awesome content. So where can they go?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm on obviously TikTok, Instagram, all platforms. I am at the Karan Menon, TheKaranMenon. I guess
TikTok, merch too now, right?
Oh yeah, just dropped some merch. Go check it out. A lot of, you know, it's called, we call it woke merch. It's you know,
awesome.
We're donating some of the like percentage of the proceeds to charities that the reference that the video had to do with and stuff like that. It's like end qualified immunity stickers, like vaccine stickers and stuff like that. But yeah, if you want to support a cause and look cool, you know, at the same time, that's, you know, go there, karanmenon.com. And that's pretty much it. Facebook, all the platforms, you can probably just look up the Karan Menon, you'll find me. Yeah.
Super cool. All that will be linked in the show notes. Very last question. Let's say we were to go back in time to this young man who decided he was going to pursue comedy, and his dad was funny, and, you know, he grew up kind of in a household that supported him with that. And he had this teacher who said this kind thing to him, and he had no idea that just, you know, a few years later, you would have a federal judge citing you. You would be on CNN being featured there. You would have the eyeballs and the ears, the attention of so many people, and sharing such a powerful message in a unique way. If you were to go back to that young man who was starting off in this venture, heading to college, going to study sketch comedy, and tell him one thing that you've learned over this past year that he did not know back then, what would that be?
I think the biggest thing that I'm still kind of learning to do, but I think I would definitely want to tell this person back then, was like, don't compare yourself to, like, I mean, compare yourself in a healthy way, but don't look at people who are so far ahead of you and think like, and make a big deal of the fact that you're not there yet. I feel like the only person you should be competing against is like who you were like yesterday. You know, you should just be always be improving on yourself. And as long as you're changing, you're like succeeding. And as long as you have people who are laughing, like anybody's laughing at yourself, or anybody who's listening or paying attention or whatever you're doing, you've like succeeded in some way. Sometimes you're like, I'll be like, oh, when I get 1,000 followers, I'll feel like I've made it. And then now when I get 10,000, I feel like I've made it. Oh. I have like 100,000 on TikTok. And now I'm like, what about those guys who have a million? So like, I feel like comparing is never going to make you feel good about where you are. And that's not really the point. You can't be doing everything for other people. You can't be doing everything like, to be the best. Like sometimes like the best thing is that just the fact that you're growing and that people are paying attention. So
Word.
And that's something I still forget about, but that's definitely advice I would give.
One of the points that Karen drove home that I loved was that comedy can humanize us. It brings us together. And even if you disagree with someone, you can still hear them out. And that is the power of being intentional through education and making things maybe a little bit more entertaining so people can take in what you have to say. It's an unconventional approach, but I like it. Make sure you connect with Karen at KarenMenon.com. Again, that is linked in the show notes. And I would love to hear from you. What did you think about this episode? How are you personally going against the grain and leading in unconventional ways? Text us at 501-214-4307. Again, that is 501-214-4307. We love you. We're in your corner. See you soon.